Hello, grandkids. Welcome to the show that is divisible by the number 3. Yes, episode 339. This is Kevin. I am going to talk about actually attending Raw for a change instead of just watching it on my couch. With me to quiz me is one Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Kevin, and I'm here to add the couch perspective. of last night's Monday Night Raw.
Excelente. I think I've mentioned this in the past that I intentionally wait until the 9 o'clock time frame to start watching Raw so that I don't drive myself batty actually watching it for 3 consecutive hours.
Right.
Well, you know, that 3 hours, it's pretty tough when you're sitting in the stands. Because I was kind of talking it over with Jeremy. Like, I think it's just the fact that, WrestleMania is longer. But there aren't really commercial breaks. I mean, they definitely do some stuff in between matches to stretch things out a little bit. There's a little more dead time, you know, there isn't quite the commercial breaking that there is on Raw, which gets boring in a hurry. Because I only think that there was like one or two matches that actually got through a commercial break, or at least that's the way I felt after attending. You might be able to tell me better, like, I didn't even decide to watch it at all. I just erased it off of my DVR, so.
Right. That's about what it feels like to me. I don't think there were very many long matches at all. I really, maybe Reigns and Rusev got 2 segments, and then maybe Jey Uso and Big E got 2 segments.
Yeah, they definitely got 2 segments, because you could really tell that they were buying some time when New Day was hooting and hollering on the outside.
Yeah, and by that point, Columbus was dead, and they wouldn't even come back. Brock Lesnar probably got the worst reaction he's gotten since he came back, essentially. It was just, there was nothing bringing you back.
Yeah, at some point, because Reigns certainly got the best reaction of the night. At least the first time that he came out.
Right, yes. The law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, especially since the lady was with me and she's like, this segment has been going on for a long time. And I looked down at my watch and, I mean, Roman Reigns was on the first half an hour of TV. And you expect him to come back and still be important later.
Right, yeah. I think they felt they needed to have him wrestle on TV, again, they're low on star power. You really can't not have
your top guy.
In action on Raw, but you also had him scheduled for two long talking segments. A physical angle at the end of the show. Yeah, it was a lot of Roman Reigns, and you really didn't need that first segment. Didn't need to. It was fairly unnecessary. Oh, Jericho! Oh my God, that jacket with no shirt. It's just, he's not even going to try to project any visible toughness. Why is he even bothering? It's just, and where did he even disappear to at the end? I'm jumping around here. Where did he even disappear to at the end of Raw?
Yeah, he disappeared to nowhere. I kind of laughed about that on my way out. I was like, Jericho just kind of up and bailed ship.
Yeah, it's been weird with him. He has had no physical activity or interaction with anyone. Not including breaking Francesca. Like, he has hit no more. He wasn't in the Rumble on on Sunday, but he hasn't had a match. He hasn't been in a brawl. He's just really been talking. Yeah, there's. He didn't even get really that physically involved when he was a referee.
Very little. He was more famous for doing the cartwheels after that. That was kind of the interesting aspect. The Wi-Fi in Nationwide Arena just stinks on wheels. Either that or my phone doesn't know how to use it just specifically in the arena. Because I don't have problems on anybody else's Wi-Fi. I was following along on Twitter. And usually because I'm behind, I don't look at Twitter that much. Like, I might throw something up every now and again, so it was kind of weird doing that. And one of our later subjects could be, I noticed it in hindsight, but did not think about it. And that was all off of the whole long segment there. To open the show. Oh, and Jericho, that's what it is, with the bad look. Like, someone's like, man, why don't you just have a shirt on? He's like everybody else, and I'm just like, I'm okay with not wanting to look like everybody else. But the suit jacket without a shirt is a bit much. It was marginally better when he marched out at the end.
Yeah, in a vest
with no shirt, that I can let that one slide. It's still kind of a goofy look, but whatever. It works better than the jacket.
He did okay there. We were playing off of Paul Heyman. He came off a little bit more like someone who's actually ready for a fight, but still, there's just something about, like I said, on a show that includes Ric Flair, we made this point last week, Chris Jericho still feels like the oldest act on the show.
I guess at least some of his jokes there with, was it New Day to start the show? With the League of Nations.
League of Nations, that was some brutal stuff, and
well, I guess I didn't mind them as much as I had, but as much as some of his stuff recently, and maybe that's the problem, is that it just kind of maybe improved to mediocre.
Right. And then Jericho's interaction with Stephanie backstage, it was just, once again, Jericho's just to the point where it's just like, you're rooting with Stephanie saying, yeah, Jericho's act is from 1999, and, you know, just... Yeah, you know exactly what he's going to say before he says it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's kind of weird. I do feel like he's had different phases, so I don't know why he's kind of coasting on this one.
It's not
like he hasn't come up with, you know, different variations on that. So it's just kind of like, you know, it's a personal choice.
Yeah, I mean, he went through a phase where he didn't want to come back unless he had something new to say or something new to do. Now it is just about coasting on the old character, but I was 16 years old at the time, so, you know, 1999 Chris Jericho was pretty darn cool. 2016 Jericho trying to revisit that is just, it's pretty brutal.
it is. There's really not a whole lot of reason for it. And I do agree with you to go to the end again with him talking to Paul Heyman. I couldn't take him easily. I couldn't take him serious when he kept on talking about the three main people to choose for winning the Royal Rumble.
I couldn't take that serious at all. He's talking tough to Paul Heyman, but then when things get physical, he bails. I don't know if there is a situation, an injury situation with him that they're not wanting him to be touched right now, but it's not helping. You know, whatever it is, he's just once we get past the Royal Rumble, I hope they have something for him that you know, plays to his strengths, and he's able to really, you know, his wrestling opponent, whoever that may be, is, you know, something that he can sink his teeth into and really, you know, get do something creative with. But because right now it's just not working.
I agree. Like, I've liked him for the most part. But this run has just been a disaster. But you could be right. It just doesn't. Something seems off. It's kind of like something seeming off when Team Bad came out without Sasha Banks.
Yeah, poor Sasha. I guess poor Naomi and Tamina, because without Sasha, they got nothing.
Right. They do have a whole lot of nothing.
Right, yeah. So,
but, yeah, that was, I guess that just, to me, confirmed, like, I felt like they had held the Bellas off of TV for a while, or Brie Bella and Alicia Fox, maybe I should say. They held them off of TV for a while. I don't know if they were waiting for Nikki to get healthy so that they could keep him a threesome or not, but this kind of felt like the same situation. Like, they're like, well, yep, we gotta at least somewhat move forward with this, because you and I were talking about how the women only had one segment last week, and they did get two segments again this week.
Yeah, a segment just to promote Total Divas. I don't even know what to say about Paige's character anymore. It's a complete mess. There's no rhyme or reason to anything she does, and it's not in a isn't she crazy type of way. It's in a they don't even know what to do anymore type of way.
Right. It is really bad in that department, because Yeah, she came out and was all chummy with her and with Natalia, and I'm just like, whatever. Like, I give up.
When we last left them, wasn't Paige suspect number one in taking Natty out backstage?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh well. It's fake. Who cares? You know, whatever. That's them saying that, not me.
Yeah, I know. It's just too bad. I mean, I enjoy her work, and it seems like she's flexible enough to do baby or heel.
Yeah, she absolutely is. It's just not week to week.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna go towards. Like it's good to have, as a performer, it's good to have that. But to have that be your character for almost her whole run now, has it been almost a full 2 years? It'll be 2 years after WrestleMania, I think.
2 years after WrestleMania, but yes, she's gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth so many times. It's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to hurt long-term, because you're either going to think that she's going to, you know, I mean, she's almost got to go on an extended run, is one or the other, for anybody to believe them. But, I mean, she wasn't even in the match, so it's also one of those things that, you know, it still could be a little bit, because it was a concussion, right, with her?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really was just to promote Total Divas, since she's on it. But, you know, who knows if she's actually ready for the ring again.
I suspect she's not quite ready. But they wanted her on the show to promote Total Divas. That takes precedence over everything. Yeah, it's just the way it is. I mean,
Yeah, it's one of those things you're like, well, okay. That's it. The lady was pondering whether she'd actually watch that train wreck. It still tapes. But I have not watched it, except for some moments where she's like, "You gotta come here. You gotta come here." So I have seen some glimpses of Total Divas,
Yeah,
but
I've actually got it recording right now, and I might watch it when we're done here.
I will not watch it when we're done here.
Oh, well, you don't know what you're missing there.
Clearly, I do not know what I'm missing. Okay, so Paige, that segment was a mess. The other segment, again, a little bit, logistically, it was a mess. But I think everyone got what they wanted.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Because, I mean, does
obviously Becky Lynch growing up in Ireland, being young, growing up in Ireland, has got to have very little concept of Ric Flair beyond what she's told. So when she was talking right to him, obviously she was spewing some writer's, viewpoint and nothing of her own personal experiences. So it was just like, that wasn't Ric Flair's character at all. He always hid.
Yeah, he
He always hid
always.
behind his buddies and dodged him.
Which also makes his reaction to the situation strange. Because he should be going, "Hey, dummy, you have no idea what I did." And she would not have goaded him into granting her a match against Charlotte.
Right, but no, that's it's like, I guess it's kind of a minor point. I mean, they're exactly where they want to be, and if they want to go there, if Becky beats Charlotte on Sunday, they can have Charlotte basically break up with her dad. Which I think would be the best way to go for her going forward as a heel. I'm sure especially they enjoy them traveling together and working together, but long term for her as a heel, it's better if he's not there, and there's no better way for her to get heat but by telling her dad to basically go to hell.
Yeah, and they certainly made it at least a point to show that schism happening.
Yeah.
It was one of the few things that's it's always funny that not on the couch, you do not get no matter the quality of the announcing, they do convey some messages.
Right.
I would say that some of them in the arena experience get lost.
They can. I mean, you really, unless you look at the screen the whole time, yeah, you lose what's being said. You don't. I mean, I guess a good example of it is the whole genesis of Suplex City, because I was at WrestleMania Live. I didn't catch, because I couldn't hear anything off the microphone. I couldn't hear Brock Lesnar actually say Suplex City, bitch. It actually, so I tell you, so just all of a sudden on the screen, Suplex City is now trending worldwide, and that sparked the chant. But no one in the arena had any clue, had any clue why it just was.
Gotcha. And yeah, that makes sense. But the Charlotte wanting or having problems with her father's decision to grant the title match was not one of those things that needed any translation.
Right.
Again, like it's crazy that the journey of this segment, as you point out, was all kinds of flawed. But again, like, for whatever reason, they're getting to the right conclusion. Right. So you're like, okay. Because even if they don't, even if Ric Flair and Charlotte don't break up this Sunday, it's at least, I would imagine, the start of that storyline.
Yeah. I think it was exactly what it was supposed to be. And you know what? And Charlotte did a good job with her promo. And obviously, she everything that she did with her facial expressions, her body language, her body movements was, you know, conveyed, you know, all the way into the upper deck that, you know, she was not happy. So it was, you know, good performance from her.
So I mean, I liked I liked this segment overall. Becky Lynch certainly is very popular with the live crowd. I do not think that everybody was burnt out yet.
No, not by that point in the show, no.
And that's the other thing. I guess I didn't pull up anybody else's review, but I guess I don't remember what order everything happened in necessarily. Mm-hmm. I do know that I was quite amused this week by New Day's segment.
That was really good. That was good. That's the best they've probably been in a few weeks now. They played that pitch perfect.
And they didn't let it linger too long. Like, I'm okay with them getting backstage segments. You know, it seems like they've trotted them out for the live segments more than anything kind of set up like that. But, I mean, I think that they could do that at least kind of a setting more frequently to kind of break up the feel of their segments.
Yeah, I think that going backstage with them more often probably would be a good idea, yeah. They don't get the long, drawn-out in-ring promo.
Yeah, because that's another one that it can just get a little... I would imagine that gets a little overwhelming for a live crowd.
Right.
I'm trying to... And then we did mention it, at least at the top there, that Big E against Jimmy was... It was Jimmy, right?
I think it was Jay.
Jay. That definitely got a lot of time. And, you know, I think both of those guys are pretty damn good. So it was enjoyable to get to see those two guys really do their thing.
Right. Yeah, it was a pretty good match.
So, and the numbers game worked out in the favor of New Day, which is, you know, hey, we do need heels to win from time to time to help things out here.
Indeed.
Now I'm just gonna pull up a report since I'm trying to remember what else happened.
Well, I guess we should probably talk about the main event segment.
You know what? It was pretty interesting to finally, well, I mean, Bray Wyatt has not had his hat in the ring, so to speak, for the world title, or any title to speak of.
No, it kind of came out of nowhere, and I'm not sure about how they laid out that segment. There's a small amount of times a year where you can lay out Brock Lesnar, I think, and I don't know if last night was the time to do it.
And it was just so, I guess I didn't mind Heyman doing the talking, obviously. But he was out there so little time, it was kind of weird. Because, like, no sooner did he get out there that Reigns pops up. And then the Wyatts popped up pretty soon thereafter.
Well, after Brock took out the League of Nations.
Oh, poor League of Nations.
Yeah, they were not made to look strong going into the Royal Rumble.
No, I guess, thank goodness. I don't know. I
Yeah,
mean,
they're
them and the quality of their reasons why they're together. Them and the Social Outcast have about the same amount of quality for why they're together. I'm
Right,
not
fair enough.
saying the groups are equivalent, but I'm just saying that their reasons for being together are both very flimsy.
The League of Nations really has nothing going for it. They really don't have any chemistry. They don't have There's no charisma with them. It's really a bad group. A bad group of singles wrestlers just thrown together with only one very vague. They're not even all from the same country.
Yeah, and I mean, they
They're all from
haven't
different
given a
countries.
reason why they got together, like, really at all. Like, I don't know, or do they feel like the McMahons have underrepresented them, which would be completely bizarre because they've been very well represented.
Right, they're essentially McMahon's goon squad right now. Not a very effective one, but they're. So yeah, no, I they if you're gonna have a group go into the Royal Rumble with momentum, I guess you definitely should pick the Wyatts. I mean, I'm curious as to whether last night was the beginning of a push for Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Not sure about that one, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it did make things kind of intriguing. I guess if there's a time, just with all of the people out that they have out, if there's a time to pull out, Bray Wyatt to the main event. This is it. I mean, I think in I believe we mentioned it a bunch that I no matter what, he's gotten a lot of TV time. Like, even if he's had nothing to do, and I mean, he's kind of had the Ryback stuff recently, but I mean, that's more of a kind of. They haven't really concentrated on that storyline a whole
Yeah,
lot.
no, and yeah, it's not really much of a storyline or much of a feud. It's just been, the past 2 months they've spent, basically rehabbing the Wyatts with wins since they were basically destroyed by Undertaker and Kane, which was necessary and it was needed. So they haven't really had a great feud, even the stuff with the Dudleys and the ECW guys was just kind of there. Some decent stuff, I think that having them all go into the Royal Rumble with the express purpose of eliminating everyone else and then basically letting Bray Wyatt win the Royal Rumble, I think it's a good angle. I don't know if I see Bray getting the title, but I guess he's kind of a dark horse choice because right now it does look like I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I thought there would be more. Granted, I know Cena's injury had its effect, and for whatever reason, they're not at least as an announced entrant, they're not including The Undertaker or Triple H in it, so it is left with, really, it seems to be Reigns or Lesnar, you know, as the top two options to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that does bring us back to, I'm like, Jericho, there's not a chance in hell you're winning. And, you know, Wyatt throwing his hat in the ring there, finally, it gives you a third option. But I don't think it's anything beyond a third option.
Right. Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I think that, you know, as a possible surprise entrant, maybe Triple H has a better chance of winning the whole thing than Bray Wyatt does. Actually, and they were actually during the Stephanie Vince segment, they were teasing, you know, that there would be surprises.
Somebody felt like they were reading a AJ Styles reference into one of Stephanie's comments. That segment was bombing so bad.
Oh, it was. Oh.
That I stopped paying attention.
Oh, poor Vince. Having, you know, and Stephanie had to go and reference it, you know, a flashback to McMahon's Millions.
I guess I didn't even think about that part. Like, it just was dying. I mean, I feel like maybe that's when, that's when things really went downhill. That segment was brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And, you know, I mean, I guess not totally their fault. I guess they didn't gimmick the eggs or balls or whatever you want to refer to them good enough. Or Vince has to stand there struggling for an awkwardly long time.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, really, to see him doing that. It's just like, oh, did they, like, I thought that either they intentionally locked all the balls except for the ones that had Roman Reigns' name in it, or he was having some problems.
I'm pretty sure the gimmick was they all had Roman Reigns' name in it.
Yeah.
Which leads a very I guess one of the more interesting stories going into the Royal Rumble on Sunday is Roman Reigns getting number one, and I imagine he'll be there at the end. So, you know, maybe, you know, after 10 years, Rey Mysterio's, you know, longevity record will be broken. You know, but that means Roman Reigns has to go 63 minutes in the Royal Rumble. That will certainly be interesting to see.
It will be. I think he can do it because it isn't a conventional match.
Right. Yeah, he can. Yeah, you can certainly get it. I mean, he doesn't have to be Ric Flair in the 92 Rumble, you know, taking eight, you know, he won't be, you know, taking 100 backdrops, and, you know, for over an hour, but.
Yeah, I would imagine, as I have liked to call them, Edge coffee breaks.
Yeah, he'll certainly take a number of those. But yeah, no, it definitely adds a new wrinkle to the whole thing. I know Jeremy speculated on that during the last show you two did together. I wasn't thinking along those lines that they were gonna go there with Reigns being number one, but that's exactly where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, they had been making a point of saying that it was not, that he was not number one, I felt like, the last 2 weeks. But yeah, they did decide to go that way. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I figured that he would, at a minimum, kind of be in early so that he had some type of, Jeopardy involved and having to last a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I guess I just did not figure that number one would be the case necessarily. But yeah, I mean, it is. So, yeah. We'll get to see how Roman Reigns can eke out some time. If nothing else, I mean, I guess if he doesn't win, I would imagine, well, like you said, that he's going to make it to the end. So, I mean, even if he doesn't make 60 minutes, he's making a hell of a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably at least, probably more than twice as long as the longest match he's ever had. So, it'll be a big test. I mean, I imagine what they're going for is by the end of the match, people are going to be so impressed by his performance that, you know, they'll be willing him to win, even if it does come down to him and Brock.
Yeah, it would be really strange if Lesnar gets a late number and he ends up getting tossed somehow.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was definitely thinking that myself. It's almost not believable that after being in the match the entire time that Reigns could then eliminate Brock, unless Brock, you know, kind of, you know, goes tumbling over the top rope after, you know, and kind of eliminates himself. On a charge or something of that nature.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, who's most likely to win, obviously the two of them, they possibly could have something where Triple H comes in at number 30 and wins the whole thing. I could see maybe Undertaker as a surprise entrant, but maybe not winning, you know, doing something to set up his match at WrestleMania. AJ Styles, there's nothing stopping AJ Styles from being in the Rumble.
Right. There is not a damned thing doing that. So I guess that's why people probably thought that Stephanie was alluding to him. I guess I did not really catch the comment.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a few surprises, and we'll see who they are. I mean, again, just even with all the injured guys, I mean, you have like five or six spots open for somebody on the roster to be in there.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So. You know, kind of all hands on deck at this point. It'll be it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely will be. I mean, I kind of wish they would have set up some more believable winners, but I guess with what they have, as you said, on deck, probably for the best to focus on Reigns and Lesnar, and then maybe introduce the Wyatts as the spoiler right at the end.
Right. Yeah, this match might have gotten a commercial break. It was Dean Ambrose and Kalisto against Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio.
That I believe did get. I forgot about that one. I believe that did get a commercial break. Yes, and I like that match. I thought it was a good match. Obviously, on your end, you didn't hear this, but Kevin Owens' commentary added quite a bit.
Someone beside us, since you always get the TV feed in the arena, someone just yells that halfway through the match, "Hey, we can't tell what Kevin Owens is saying, get him off the screen."
Oh.
So, yeah, I did get a chuckle out of that. you could tell he was talking. They keep on putting him out there, and it's not really a bad thing. Like, I mean, no. He is just... Very unlikable.
Yeah, he was really good. I mean, he was being pretty, I mean, he poor Byron Saxton, he wouldn't even let him get a word in. He just kept shutting him down every time he tried to talk. And, obviously, you know, cutting promos on Dean Ambrose for their match on Sunday. It's I'm actually not sure if they're two of them are even going to be in the Rumble, since they're going to, you know, have a, you know, a brutal last man standing match, you know, earlier in the night. So that might keep them out of the Rumble itself.
Yeah, I mean, if they did get in there, I would hope that both of them would be an easy elimination. Even if you're the winner of the match, there's no reason for you to be looking tough after that one.
No. Yeah. It makes no sense for either of them to, you know, come back, you know, a half hour, you know, an hour later, and just start kicking everyone's ass. I think it would be, you know, pretty, you know, easy pickings for elimination.
Yeah. So, yeah, the lady liked Kalisto. He did get her attention. Chalk one up for him.
Yeah, Kalisto's got something going for him. I have no idea if they were just gonna do him and Del Rio again at the Royal Rumble. Why they did the title change on SmackDown? I have no idea. It makes just absolutely no sense.
Yeah, and that was one of those things. I almost forgot about this because I don't think I tweeted about it. Kalisto always comes in and jumps off that trampoline and comes into the ring. Well, the WWE crew forgot to take that away.
Yeah.
Did that come across on TV?
Yeah. You could tell it was still laying there, and they were trying to avoid landing on it.
Yeah, because I was just like, oops, somebody forgot to do their job.
That's exactly what happens. I don't think they've ever... I don't think they've ever forgotten before, because usually they shoot his entrance in a way where you never even see the trampoline.
Oh, right.
He does his. He does it, it's like he's, you know, diving into the ring in a. I mean, you know, unless you're a small child. I mean, I don't watching it on TV. I don't think you don't realize that there's a trampoline there, but it was right there for all to see.
Okie dokie. I guess that was something that I needed to ask about, because that was funny to see. Because two guys came out from under the ring and scurried off with with the trampoline.
Why didn't they just pull it back underneath the ring instead of, or what? Did they go back underneath the ring, or did they scurry back?
They took it to the back.
Really?
Yes. So yeah, it that was I forgot that was kind of like a little interesting part of the live experience. And I did mention this in my tweets too, that what's his name? Oh, I did like that Roman Reigns, when he got his title back at the beginning of the show, he kissed his title before he threw it over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. I just kind of thought that was a nice kind of like, you know, I'm glad I still have you. Like, that's kind of how precious it is to him.
Yeah. I always like when champions do that. It makes it seem important and precious, and exactly what it should be.
So yeah, but that was another one where I wasn't quite sure if it if that got shown on TV or not. And I'm trying to think of there I'm trying to scroll down to what else happened on the show here.
Well, I guess
But
we
I
can talk about the social jobbers.
Yeah, I think they are the last thing that on this show that can be talked about.
Yeah, and that springboards into a quite an amusing conversation as well. So we'll just get to that.
It all ties together quite nicely. Josh from Tough Enough.
Who's apparently been given the name Action Bronson. Wow. That's one for the trash heap. He tweeted during the course of the social outcast being destroyed by the Big Show. He tweet, you know, J Josh had went and tweeted, "I like it. Hashtag social jobbers." And that set off a firestorm beginning with Kevin Owens. Now, I guess a little bit of background on this. A couple of weeks ago, Josh and a few of the other, you know, NXT rookies did a little video of them like doing a lip sync rap, and Kevin Owens responded to them saying and you know, Josh was the one who sent out the tweet saying, and then Kevin Owens, you know, quoted the tweet as you do on Twitter, and then wrote, "Great use of time on TV taping days to, you know, to better your craft." So on the Kevin Owens front, an annoyance with young Josh had already been brewing.
Yeah, that was one where I was just like, I doubt that they spent that long a time
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, maybe a
doing
little
that. Like,
over. There's maybe a little bit of an overreaction, but obviously Kevin Owens is a guy who takes his craft very, very seriously. So.
yeah, I mean, and that's why they give him a whole buttload of time too.
Right.
so yeah, I can at least understand that, or not understand. I can let slide at least the Josh comment from last week. Like, I did think that it was a little bit of a overreaction,
Yeah.
but this one, I would call it an appropriate reaction.
Yeah. When you're the lowest guy on the totem pole, but yet making, you know, mid card to upper mid card money, you really need to keep your mouth shut and just shut up, listen, and just, you're at that state. Shut up, listen, and learn. That's all you should be doing.
Yeah, well, and I don't know why you do that to one of your coworkers.
Well, four of your coworkers.
Well, yeah, four of your coworkers.
And just
Like,
don't shut up.
even if that's the term that gets used, like, you should at least have some understanding that, I mean, Melissa kind of mentioned it that how long Heath Slater's been around now.
Yeah, I mean he's put in, you know, nearly 5 years. Well, more than five if you include his time in developmental.
Right. And you know, he's just there's a reason he's been on TV doing what he's been doing. Like, he's had a longer shelf life than any other like goofy kind of character. Like, I don't know if Santino lasted 5 consecutive years.
Yeah, I think he lasted actually quite a bit longer than that. Actually, maybe seven, maybe even eight. Santino, but yes, he's been around a long time. I mean, they are, like as I referenced about Josh, they are on the WWE main roster. Low on the totem pole, but they have a role. They've earned their spots, whatever their spots are, and they certainly deserve respect from some guy who pretty much readily admitted that he'd never even watched wrestling growing up. A guy who just signed up for a reality show on a lark. So essentially, in the last 6 months, he's learned the term jobber, and he's using it towards veterans in the locker room. That's I can't even imagine just being that stupid and that disrespectful.
So I mean, I actually thought that some of the reactions weren't quite harsh enough. Like, it was just like, dude, like, I really don't get it at all. It's just,
I mean, earlier Brian Alvarez reported that there are people on the main roster who actually want Josh to end up in the Royal Rumble so they can give him the Daniel Pewter treatment.
That would be kind of funny, and I would not put it beyond Vince to order that kind of a lesson teaching.
Right, although Josh is a... Well, I guess it would be a situation where he would just be like, you're going in there, you gotta take your medicine, don't fight back. I mean, because Josh is a pretty big guy.
Yeah,
he wanted to fight back, I guess. Unless the guys who, well, I guess if they really wanted to put the fear of God into him, obviously let Brock just throw him around a little bit, tie him up in some knots.
That's always a very tough love solution.
Yeah.
Because there is never a time that I don't enjoy Brock Lesnar tossing people around. It's always fun to watch.
But I have a feeling, especially in today's very corporate, very sanitized WWE situation, he'll make his way around the locker room, he'll make his apologies, and they've only got another less than 6 months before they can let him go. $250,000 gone, but that was what they wanted the show to be. So I don't see Josh sticking around.
I mean, I have no idea whether he would stick around or not. But that is not going to do him any favors. Even if he makes the apology rounds, like, it's just gonna kind of be there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that whole, like, with Cody Rhodes Stardust, said about, enjoy changing in the halls, which is kind of an infamous thing that, because that's the Miz's old story. That he did something disrespectful when he first started, and this is actually how I think I've even told the story before here. I'm not really sure about how Chris Benoit actually grabbed the Miz and threw him out in the hall and wouldn't let him back in the locker room, and then 6 months after Benoit killed himself, Miz was still changing in the hallway, not entering the locker room, and just like. So finally, Undertaker went up to him and said, "Oh, why are you chained in the hallway?" Miz goes, "Because Benoit said I couldn't go in there." Undertaker then says, "Benoit's dead, son. Come on in."
Oh, well, always worth retelling.
I've always loved that.
Oh man. Well, something similar to that is probably gonna happen for poor old Joshy here.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know if he'll get the chance to, earn his way back in. I think this is a
Oh.
pretty, well, first of all, from at least what they showed on Breaking Ground, I don't know if he's progressing well at all in the first place, and then you add an attitude problem into the mix. I don't know if he's going to get a chance to improve himself.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess we could continue on the jobber talk to really round out the show here, and talk about the unfortunate passing of Iron Mike Sharp, one
Yeah, if
of
you.
everyone's favorite, or yeah, he's got to be in the top five enhancement talents ever.
Yeah, he really does, and that's a good word. Enhancement talents, not jobber. But yeah, he was very, very memorable. Always wore the black cast on his arm.
And who could forget that chest
Always,
hair?
yeah, very hairy guy. Oh, whenever he would hit, get hit or hit someone else, just let out this roar, essentially, very loud. Yeah, a very memorable piece of my childhood. His misadventures everywhere were very entertaining.
Yeah, I wish I remembered some specific segment, but much like any other enhancement talent, there's really a hard time putting a finger on it.
Yeah, well, actually, he didn't start off as an enhancement talent. He actually got a when he first entered the company, and I think they said this credit was 83, he got a pretty good big push, and got a shot against Bob Backlund. And I don't think they ever made it to Madison Square Garden, but they did do, I think Philadelphia was the town that was mentioned in that. He actually got a world championship match.
Oh, well, I don't know why. Well, that would have been in my wheelhouse for watching, so I probably should remember that. But that's okay.
See, 83, you would have been how old?
Nine.
You would have been 9 years old in 83.
Or no, seven.
7, you grew up in Pittsburgh. Yeah, you got the, before they went national, you got WWF TV then, right?
I think so, 'cause I got that well before I got anything else, because we didn't get cable until pretty late. Like, I was in high school, I think, by the time we got cable.
Right.
And then we finally started to watch, although I don't think it was any sooner. Now that I see the history of it, I think that was when Ted Turner bought WCW, and brought it to TBS. So I mean, I think we got it right at the perfect time there. So yeah, 'cause there was a New York station that we got that might have aired that. 'Cause I always remember the Crazy Eddie commercials. But I'm not sure if the WWE was on there. But yeah, I remember watching the WWE for I think quite a while.
Right.
I would have to, I guess, verify that some other means.
Yeah, but Mike Sharp, a very memorable part. You know, sometimes you think today that, you know, enhancement talent like that is definitely a bygone era that's not coming back.
Yeah. I mean, what Heath Slater and them do is quite a bit different than what Iron Mike Sharp did.
Yeah, I mean, the enhancement talent of the day, they were all, you know, they were talented in their own way. They did their jobs and they earned their money, whether it was 50, 100 bucks, whatever it was, you know, they were getting paid to lose on TV all the time.
Yeah, well, that part is has definitely been a consistent theme. losing on TV. Well, hopefully we did not lose on the airwaves tonight. So, I guess as usual, it is time to wrap things up.
Okay.
So, at Chris Calamita, at DeFrango11, at Stunt Granny, of course. Grandkids, have a good night.
Later.